the talk this evening is on emotions. And it's so interesting that so many of the yogis today spoke about dealing with emotions. I think it's quite relevant that people, when they begin their practice, are stirred up, a lot is going on, something is moving within them, which they don't know really what it is. So it's important to find the place of the emotions, finding their place. And also I'll talk about a little bit about the relationship with the thoughts, the relationship between emotions and the thoughts. I remember my first retreat, my very first retreat was a weekend retreat. And it started on a Friday night, finished on a Sunday night, and I think I cried the whole of the retreat. It was just so apparent that suffering was there. Yet, I had the inspiration to come to a retreat because I thought that I would find serenity, stillness, peace. And I had this image of a small Buddha statue that my father had brought back from Asia when he was traveling once. I was a child then. And that Buddha statue was just lying there, you know, on one of the shelves. And as a child, I would be, you know, looking at that Buddha statue and say, wow, how great. He's always smiling. He's always serene. And I had run into that paper talking about a meditation retreat, and I thought, wow, why don't I try that? It's going to be great, you know, I'll be quiet and I'll be just fine. Oh, how sweet. And so here, there's no Buddha image, there's no statue. Yet we have the teachers, right, that sit quite still, and also all the other yogis. And we may think that we're the only one here that is miserable today, that has been stirred up, and that has had a problem with some kind of thought that has been going on that has not helped us. And so we project. The projection is very easy to do, you know. We project on others what we would like for ourselves. And we probably think that we're the only one here that is in trouble. Well, I had a few yogis today that had the similar type of experience. So you can be really relaxed and think that you're not the only one here that is having some difficulty. So I thought, well, this is not what I thought I'd be getting, you know, in this first retreat. Not at all. I was facing so much pain in my heart and in my legs and in my body. And I think that today sometimes, you know, during the day, we all had feelings that are moving. Mind states, moods, fear, agitation, restlessness, whatever it is. Whatever it is. It's important to recognize that we're making projections and that we're not the only one that is in that state. It's really important to know that here, so you can recognize that it's happening. Even though you see the yogis out there walking very slowly, they're in the same mind state as you are. Exactly the same mind state. So what we have the tendency to do when we look forward that serenity, that stillness, is that we want to escape the state that is not still. We try everything to prevent the inner movement, the inner life. I want my practice then to unfold in a very different way. I want something ill. You know, sitting still, this is how it should be. Yet it's not the way it is. So what we do, we push ourselves sometimes in a fake situation. A fake situation, one which is not real. One which is not what is happening in the present moment. And that in order to get something else. In order to get it, you know, because we think we're going to get something. Well, forget it. You're not going to get anything. Because this is not what we're here for. This is not what we're asked of us. The meditation is not about getting anything. It's only about establishing a wise relationship to our inner movement, to the life that is around us, to the life that is just there as it unfolds. And what we are here for is to open to what is appearing, to open to what is arising, without having any idea of how it should be, of how we anticipate. And therefore, without the need to push away things. I mean, if we were here only to live the good moments and forget about all the bad moments, we'd be doing the same thing we do in our lives. You know, running for the pleasant and avoiding the unpleasant. That's what we usually do, don't we? So, of course, we'll have the same tendency of the mind that we will bring to the practice here. And so the so-called bad moments we will avoid, and the good ones we will want to keep, to bring back, to reproduce. What we are trying to do here is to understand how to establish a relationship of freedom. A relationship of freedom with everything. Not with just certain mind states that we like, but with absolutely everything. So then we learn to enjoy the good moments, you know, to appreciate when it's pleasant. And we also learn to be at ease when it's difficult, when the moments are difficult. It's only in a greater freedom of movement, of being alive, of feeling what we feel, that we can learn to investigate our relationship to life and also our relationship to our emotional life specifically. Often when we notice the emotions, we're already lost in them. The emotions may be so strong, they're so powerful, there's so much there, they're so overwhelming, that when we are aware of them, we're carried away. We're gone. It's so hard to see when they start, when they begin. So when we are carried away, what happens is we get out of control. We lose our control. And the way we relate to that is that we control more. I remember once I was sitting with a Burmese teacher who you may know, I don't know if he came to Israel, Upandita Sayadaw, who is a great Burmese master, very well known in Asia, also very, very fierce. And I sat with him in Nepal, and the material conditions were absolutely awful. We were 12 in a room, no mosquito nets. The person beside me had a very severe hepatitis. The other one had a flu, and we were sitting from 4 in the morning to 12 at night. So you imagine the tension that gives it to arise at that moment. When we have to be sitting and walking for about 12 hours, I forgot to tell you that there's no dinner, there's no meal after 12. So this is like being in a monastic life. Well, you push your limits, I can tell you. So what I did is I tried to control in such a heavy way until I dropped. But when I opened up my emotions, I was really cracking up totally. And my emotions were completely out of place everywhere. Then what happened? I was open. But fear came. A lot of fear, actually. Because I led myself without knowing where I was going to a place I could not handle. Which meant that at 12:30 at night, I banged in his room. He's a monk, so it's not a thing that you usually do. But it was such out of control that I didn't notice what I was doing then. And I did my bowing, of course, 3 times. And I said, I didn't say anything, actually. I was such in an upheaval and in such a state. And he looked at me very peacefully, you know, absolutely peacefully. And he just said, good cry. And of course, a Burmese teacher, and especially a monk, you know, wouldn't have the ability to deal with the emotions, especially not with a young, this was years ago, so with a young woman, you know, from the West. So the only thing he said is, good cry. And if you need, you have the lap of the Buddha that you can take. And I thought, the lap of the Buddha? What does that mean, you know? And of course, it was so interesting to see that he just gave me the key word that was only to know that it was okay. That my state was not a special state, it was just okay, you know, to feel that way. Because it is happening, because it is normal. So emotions are very difficult to notice. And most of the time we don't notice, and we find ourselves really invaded by these sensations, by these thoughts that are completely overwhelming. So it's to recognize first, you know. Maybe it's not to say that if you're not an emotional person, then maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, people, some of them don't have emotions. And some, maybe some people, for some, it's a lot of mind states. It's a lot of thoughts, stories going through the mind. And from some other people, it's only physical. They have plenty of sensations, you know, pressure in the breast or the chest or the pulsation, which is going fast. This is a kind of emotion, but that is not related to the thought. So what we're here for is to give them a place. Give them a place where we can really ease the practice and give them a place so that we feel that they're okay. Now we need to understand that the way we do this here is with a balance of mind, not at all like you know, the extreme I went to in Nepal, well, the conditions were not the ones you're having today, I can tell you. So the balance of mind is something important. What does it mean? Vipassana is about opening to life. Vipassana means seeing clearly, opening to all kinds of impressions of life, whatever they are. Now, we do not want to shut down, which means we don't want to escape the emotions. Because, you know, I can be sitting here and I keep cool and, oh, no, no, nothing is touching me and there's absolutely no emotion there. And in fact, we're not seeing that there's a lot of emotions that are going there. But also not to be carried away. So to have a balance of mind. And how do we do that? We do that by connecting again and again with the present moment. It's only the present moment that will give us the ability to know what is there that is. What we do is we'd like to have the fire burn down, you know, but we continue to put wood so the fire really gets greater, gets bigger. We fuel with our thoughts. We don't understand that there's a big difference between being just with the emotion as an experience, just being there with it, and thinking about it. You know, thinking about how I'm going to solve it. Which means that we need to be attentive. We need to recognize when we do that. We need to know that we do that. Very often, this is where the relationship really is true. We really is particularly difficult. Because we get caught in a swirl, in a whirl that is endless, you know. Say I got angry at lunch today because somebody was maybe sitting at my place where I like to sit, you know. Maybe I have already a favorite place where I like to have lunch, or maybe I'm angry because the person next to me who's sleeping next to me is snoring. It can happen. And it's irritating to have somebody like that, you know. And say that we found, and I know it's true, we found another place to sleep. Very lucky you. So you don't have the snore anymore, but the irritation is there. It's still there because we keep having the story. We keep having the story. As soon as we meet this person, we're going to identify this person. Oh, yeah, she's a snorer. I don't like her, you know? That thing is gone. It's completely gone. And you found a solution, you know? You found another place to sleep. If you had not found another place to sleep, I wouldn't take this example, you know? But the relationship we have to this person is the one we have today because we keep on fueling the mind state, the thought about this person. And what it does is that we really make ourselves miserable then. It feels awful then. Because we're caught. We're caught in the thoughts, we're caught in the emotions, and we can't get out. And this is exactly when we need to be putting more effort. We really need to say, you know, here, I'm caught. This thought, I've had it for a thousand times, whatever your story, you know, this is just an example. But we get caught again and again and again. And so what we need to do is just there. We need to put the effort, come back here. You know, this is where I am. This person is not here anymore. This is not the situation I'm in just now. It's gone. It changed. Yet we're keeping it. So when the mind gets caught, it's very difficult to get it uncaught. What is very helpful then is to feel the emotion at a physical level. If there's anger, there's going to be an emotion that you'll feel within yourself at a physical level. To move from the space of the mind to the physical level. And what is wonderful then, if we can give just a little bit of space, is that we notice that it's gone. You know, it's changed. And that moment when we notice the change, when we notice that it just dissolved, and we don't even know how we did it, you know, suddenly we're not in that space anymore. It's just gone. Then we're in touch with ourselves. We're again in touch with ourselves. We begin to feel it. Immediately we feel that there's space. We feel that there's an opening. And what we do there is that we have a sense of non-identification. What happens there is we can just see that it's a physical phenomena, that it's a mental phenomena, that it's a thought moving, and it's opening, and it gives space, and it's appearing, and it's disappearing, within a much vaster field, within a much greater field. The problem is that we forget to do it. And we're here to remember. Not to remember on a thought pattern. You know, we say mindfulness is to recall the attention, remembrance. That remembrance is not remembering a kind of memory where you need, you know, to have some kind of reflection. It's just the remembering to be present. That's all. I mean, this is the only thing that is required. Yet, we're so far away from that state of mind, from that attitude, that we forget. We forget, we forget, we forget. And what we need to do is just to remember again and again and again. So most of the time what the problem is that we think we're going to solve the problem, whatever the problem is, through finding a solution through the thought. Through really finding a solution through the thoughts. The thoughts won't help then. The thoughts will only get us more caught. Because a thought brings another thought and another thought, and it's not at a thinking level that will solve the meditation. You know, we often think that if we can think about it, we can find a solution, we'll have everything solved. But when we begin to really open, and probably today there's been a shift already, if you notice your state or your way of sitting, you know, comparing it with Friday night, comparing it with the beginning of the retreat, comparing it with when you just came here, there's a whole revelation there. it's completely immediate, and we can feel the experiences, and that's exactly why we keep going on. Otherwise, you'd be walking out, you know. We keep doing it because just for maybe a few seconds, we have that revelation of being within a greater space and not be identifying with the thoughts or with the emotions. And that gives us the ability to come back and sit, to really come back and sit. So when we're at the level of the experience, we can really let go of the thoughts. And there's a space there. There's just a need of well-being. It's the possibility of letting go. And the whole of the practice is letting go. Letting go of the thoughts, letting go of the mind states, letting go, just simply letting go. And in that moment, we find a place of rest. We experience that very directly. We know when it's true. We know when it's just that place of rest. That place of rest is our true home. So how do we do then? How does that manifest? How do we start? We only start with awareness. We start with mindfulness. We start by recognizing, what is my experience right now? Just bring back the attention to this moment. Notice what is going on. Just notice, as you come here, as you begin, what is it that is happening right now for me? Is there an emotion? Is there a mind state? Is there a difficult emotion? Now, the fact that we connect and we recognize precisely what is happening, we remember with wisdom. And then we can accept that state. We can accept it just for what it is. In that moment, we're not distracted. In that moment, there's concentration, there's mindfulness, there's energy. All the faculties, the qualities that Charles spoke of last night, they build up on their own, at their own rhythm. We don't need to interfere. We can't push the process. And if we think we can, by thinking that we'll find a way better than the meditation, just being present, then we're having more difficulty. It only prevents us from being at a deeper level, at a level of experience. So we recognize with attention at the level of the sensations, at the level of the mood, the physical sensation, the mind state. Then what happens? We can open and we notice the changes. We notice that in fact it's not so solid, you know. When we think we are in this state where it's so difficult, we think it's going to last forever. Is it not? We think we're never going to get rid of it. Yet the moment we're there, it dissolves, it disappears. Wow, great, you know, a moment of relief. And then we're caught again. But what appears to be so solid is not solid at all, actually. There is no self. There is no I. There is no me to whom it is happening. It's just a mental phenomena. And then a physical phenomena. happening moment after moment. There is no one to whom it is happening. We think that there is someone there only because we identify. We identify in a way that we are sure that here is a person, you know, that is living through that suffering. And yet when we really look into the process, the nature shows us, the nature, and it's so freeing then. We're just seeing the natural movement, moment after moment, and it's changing. It's impermanent. It's really impermanent. Disappears. Now, the best of attitude, if we are in difficulty, is to be friendly with oneself. If we're friendly with yourself, if you're friendly with what is happening to you there, you'll be open, you'll be accepting. And that's why we do the metta, actually. That metta is really what the vipassana grows into. That loving kindness attitude towards oneself makes that we can really hold the practice together. We're seeing clearly, and even if it's difficult, if there's loving kindness there that we bring up, that we unfold within the practice, we can hold it. Loving kindness is said to be really the best antidote to fear. If there's fear, you know, within your vipassana period, bring some metta. You know, just a few phrases. May I be free of anger, or may I be free of fear? Just a few minutes to reconnect with the loving kindness. It's so important to be friendly with oneself. Usually we're not friendly. I mean, we are everything but friendly with ourselves. Because there's judgment, and judgment or evaluation of what is happening, of how it should be, how it's supposed to be, how I'm not liking the way it is just separating us from what the experience is. So an attitude of friendliness, very different. It's very different. It makes the whole difference, in fact. And I think we'll say that again and again and again. That's all we need to say, actually, you know. Be friendly to what is happening. When we look closely, then there's nothing really there. It doesn't stay the same. We think it stays the same, but it doesn't stay the same. When we want to get rid of something, the only thing that we make stay, that we really increase instead of friendliness, is the aversion. It only increases the aversion towards ourselves, the hatred. That hatred, that aversion, is the sense of separation. So we're here to understand, to free ourselves in a better way. And if we can let go, if we can open with a balanced mind, and we're here to learn, you know. This is a practice, again. Many people today said, but I don't understand why I can't do it. I don't know if you've learned how to play an instrument, but it takes quite a long time. So this is to remember that we need to practice. Because there's no instrument, we think we should get the understanding very quickly. The instrument is ourself. It's our mind and body. So to recognize what is happening, to be accepting, to be allowing, to be there without preventing ourselves, without suppressing, yet without being carried away, without being lost in thought, and when we are lost in thought, to notice that we are lost in thought, and to know that when we're thinking about it, we're just fueling the thoughts. The attitude is much more simple than that. Just being present. In that presence, we don't identify. There is no identification. There is no me, there is no self. There's just passing phenomena, moment after moment. When we don't get caught, we're free. And that freedom is our true home. That freedom is really the liberation. I'll end just with a poem by Rumi called The Guest House. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. That's all. Welcome, everything. Let's just sit for a few seconds.